thankful for the presence of everyone that's was able to be here tonight, and I hope that the things that we say tonight will be of some benefit to you in some way. I want to talk about a word that we see pop up several times in Scripture in both the Old and the New Testament, and it's translated the same in both both from both the Hebrew and the Greek. And it's the word murmur or murmuring. You know, it's kind of a funny sounding word, isn't it? It gives the impression of something that's, you know, unintelligible, that's being said under the breath. And we want to look for a short time at this word and see what God thinks about it, and how the impact that it's had over time. In Numbers chapter 14, in verse 26, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me." There's a few things that pop out to me in this verse. The first being that God was not at all happy with his people at this time, was he? And we know the history of the children of Israel and their journey from Egypt, and they were not a people that were easy to please, were they? And it's easy for me to look at this and look at how they acted and how they behaved in the wilderness and to be critical of them and say, well, you know, if that had been me, you know, I would have just done what I was told, and I wouldn't have been one of these people murmuring and complaining. But I don't know about that, you know, because I look at my life today and I'm not going through anything near as drastic as what these people endured, and yet I complain all the time when I really don't have anything to complain about. Another thing that pops out to me in this passage here is the fact that God takes, he took the murmuring of the children of Israel personally. He took it to heart what they were doing. Even though, as we'll see later, the murmuring they were doing was not necessarily directed at God, you know, most of the time it was directed at Moses. But God took it personally what they were doing. And he said, you know, how long am I going to put up with this? He calls them evil, this evil group or this evil congregation that murmurs against me. He said, I've heard their murmurings. God hears everything. He hears things that we may think that we're saying under our breath and that, you know, we're getting away with. But he heard what they were saying. And he, again, he says, which they murmur against me. So God took these things personally. If we look at the definitions here in the Old Testament, the definitions are very similar. The word murmur in the Old Testament in the Hebrew means to grumble or to complain. It's very, very straightforward. In the New Testament, the Greek means to mutter, to grumble, to say anything against in a low tone. And I thought it was interesting that one of the definitions here is like the cooing of doves. You know, we've all heard doves, and it's you know, the sound that they make is kind of pleasant, right? It's a very soft sound or a cooing that they sound that they make. Of those who confer secretly together, of those who discontentedly complain. want to ask us or to do a little self-examination tonight, and as always, when I'm up here speaking, majority of the time it's something that I have a problem with. And yes, I have been a complainer in my life many times. And then I'll look around and I'll inevitably I'll see somebody that's a lot worse off than I am, and it makes me ashamed. And so now when I, you know, what I try to do when I find myself complaining about something, I'll try to look for someone that I can visibly see is a lot worse off than I am in this life. Maybe physically, maybe they're dealing with a physical disability, or I'll just think about Jesus Christ himself and what he went through. And usually that will, that will pretty much put an end to whatever I think I have to complain about on any given day. But it's something that I think is just, it's endemic, you know. It's just, it's something that we do a lot of times without even thinking about it. Yesterday I was in a store, I was looking for an item as usual, I have no idea where it's at, and so I see two employees over in the corner, and I'm approaching them, and I can tell by the way that they're talking under their breath and so forth that they're talking about something going on the job. And as I get closer, I hear, you know, things said about, well, I'm working this shift and so-and-so didn't, you know, you hear those things. And then they saw me, and of course they start smiling and ask how they can help me. And it's just something we see all the time. People are going to complain. It's just the way it is, it seems like. But as easy as it is to find ourselves many times being discontent, I think as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to be careful about our complaining. We need to try to be thankful for what we have, the position in life that we're in, and not find ourselves or condition ourselves to complain all the time. In John chapter 6 and verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him, talking about Christ, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. And I'm sure they were probably stunned when he said that, because they probably weren't thinking that he heard what they were saying. They were probably mumbling and complaining, because as was the case usually when Jesus was confronting the Jews or the Jewish leaders, they did not understand what he was trying to tell them. And when he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, of course referring to the manna in the wilderness, sorry, that the children of Israel had given to them by God for nourishment, he was trying to bring them over in their way of thinking in a spiritual way. And of course, all they can comprehend is, well, this is, you know, this guy is just the son of Joseph, and we know his father and his mother, and why is he saying this? And then Jesus rebukes them. He says, "Don't murmur among yourselves." In other words, I think he was trying to tell them, you know, if you have a question, ask me, confront me with it. But this murmuring, it's just not productive. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, but he says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. This is one of the most terrifying verses, I think, to me in Scripture. That the thought of the thought that every idle or worthless or non-productive word that I speak, I'm going to give an account for that when I stand someday before the throne of God. It's a scary thought, because I've said some idle words, and I don't think there's probably not anyone here that's not guilty of it, but murmuring, complaining, grumbling, I have no doubt these things would fall into that category of idleness or idle words that are spoken. Have no value whatsoever to them. Let's look at the account here in Exodus chapter 16. He's talking about the children of Israel, and it says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Now this is what Jesus was referring to when he was talking to the Jews and he said, "I am the bread from heaven." He's referring back to this time when God would rain actual bread down from heaven for his people. And it's interesting to me in verse 4 there that he says he's going to use this as a test to prove, he says, whether or not these people are going to walk in my law or not. And, you know, that's interesting to me, because, and I think it's fitting because God knows how spiritually immature his people are at this point. And this is a simple thing, and he's saying, well, we're told in Luke 16 and 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So God knew that with this simple test, you know, that he's going to rain down bread from heaven, and he's asking and telling his people to gather this bread at a certain rate, meaning they were only supposed to gather so much at one time. And this was going to be a test, a simple test as to whether or not they're going to follow what he says and do what he says. He says that I may prove them. They were to gather bread day by day. And I wonder if this is what Jesus refers to when he, in his prayer, when he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Do we worry about tomorrow? Do we complain about, well, you know, I'm okay today, but what about tomorrow? What about next week? You know, what about next month? I appreciate the verse in the song that Barry led when it says there, a faith that doesn't murmur under the rod of correction. You know, God was they're complaining, they're murmuring. It says that the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmuring against Moses and Aaron, saying, "We wish that God had left us in the land of Egypt to die, because we had food there. You know, we had food, we had things to eat. We wish we were back in Egypt. We would rather that God had left us there and we had died there than brought us out in this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, after what they witnessed at the Red Sea and their crossing there, the things they witnessed, and yet the murmuring continues, and it continued for a long time. So instead of raining fire and brimstone down on them, which he could have, as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, God, even in their murmuring and complaining, is merciful to them. John 6:32, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." So again, Jesus referring back to this instance. And David says in Psalm 78:24, "And had rained down manna from heaven, rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them all the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full." Now, I don't think, I've seen this depicted in movies and so forth, and you'll see a little, trickle of bread falling, and it, you know, just barely covers the ground. I think when God rained bread down on this massive crowd of people, it was raining. I mean, this bread was falling. To give enough for all of these people to have enough to eat. And as David said, they ate to the full, but they were together a certain rate. "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in. And it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord." So again, you know, in the previous verses there, it says that they murmured against Moses and Aaron. But Moses is saying, you're not murmuring against me. You're murmuring against God. And he's telling the people, God heard you. He heard your murmurings against him. And he says, "For he heareth your murmurings against the Lord." And he says, "And what are we that ye murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." So is it the same with you and I? You know, we look at our lot in life, and I don't think there's anybody here that's starving, that's going without food. So, you know, that's not a concern. But whatever we may complain about in this life, who are we really complaining to? Who are we really blaming? You know, we may try to put the blame on this or that, but ultimately, are we not murmuring against God? The scripture tells us by him all things consist. Everything we have comes from him. If we're not happy, then we're not happy with him. So really, we're no different. You know, it's a different time and it's a different place and different conditions and so forth, but we need to think about that, I think. I need to think about it. So again, they were together enough only for a day. Except on the sixth day when they were together twice as much as they would on a daily basis. And later it says that that was to account for the Sabbath. And that's another, I think, interesting thing that maybe is kind of an aside to what we're talking about. But they were to do this because they were to make provision for the Sabbath, that day of rest. Do we make provision for the Lord's day? Do we, and I'm guilty of, you know, just rolling out of bed on a Sunday morning and it's just, you know, it's what we do. But do we give some forethought to what we're going to do in our worship? Do we prepare for it? Do we, maybe not so much when it comes to food and things like that, but I'm talking about in a spiritual sense, do we prepare our minds for the Lord's day? Do we make any kind of preparation for it? Continuing in this chapter in verse 9, it says, "And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." So again, in spite of the grumbling and complaining, in spite of the rebellious attitude of his people, God shows kindness and he shows mercy. And God will tolerate this for a while, as we'll see. And again, he could have rained a lot of things down on their heads, but he chose to at this time. In spite of them, in spite of their complaining, he gave them what they wanted. He gave them more than enough. And it didn't come from the ground up through their own labor, through having to grow the corn and harvest it and make the bread. It came down from heaven, fully prepared for them to eat. They didn't have to do anything for it. There was no labor on their part. They just had to pick it up off the ground and eat it. I included this from a commentary because I think it's pretty fitting. It says, "To murmur against God and his providence is a very great evil, and which generally proceeds on one or other of these two things, either because men have not so much of the good things of this world as others have, or because they endure more afflictions and so are ready to charge the ways of God with inequality. Not considering that God is a sovereign and may do with his own what he pleases, and that they are deserving of nothing at his hands, and that their punishment or chastisement is less than their sins deserve." You know, there's no doubt from looking at this example of Israel and how God deals with them, that again, God takes this grumbling and complaining very personally. I don't think there's any doubt in that. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness." In verse 28 of the same chapter, he says, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to the whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me." So, the murmuring is going to stop. God has had it. He's had enough. And this is prior to, well, no, actually, it's in Numbers. No, we're in Numbers now, not Exodus. So he's telling them, I've heard your complaining, I've heard your griping and your murmuring. So he says, you wish that you had been left to die. So I'm going to take you at your word now. Your carcasses, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Any one of the congregation of Israel, the children of Israel, that was over the age of 20 and has murmured against me, he says, will not, they would essentially not see the promised land. They would die in the wilderness. And it would be the next generation that would inherit what God had planned for them. In verse 41 of Numbers 16, he says, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared, and Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. So this comes now on the heels of the incident with Korah and the rebellion of Korah, and we know that story and how that ended. And the children of Israel as a whole saw this happen, and now the murmuring picks up again, and they're coming at Moses and Aaron, and I think they have intent to harm them. They're accusing them of murder. They're accusing them of executing God's people, even though it was God that carried this out. They're angry. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. So apparently, God had given Moses this information. I'm going to send this plague among the people. And, you know, he's had it, basically, to put it mildly. He's had it with them. And he tells Moses and Aaron to get out of the way, because he's going to take care of business now. And Moses, you know, gives Aaron some instruction here to run into the congregation and try to stay God's anger. In verse 47, and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses and to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Pretty sobering moment, I'm sure. It's mind-boggling, really, how these things, to think about these things. And we see that several thousand people, 14,700 in this instance, besides those that died under the rebellion of Korah, lost their lives on that day. And how did it start? With some murmuring and complaining. People talking under their breath, people stirring the pot, as we like to say, going about complaining. And you can just see it happening. You can see it growing like a cancer among the people. The complaining begins, and it starts as we talked about this morning with that leaven, you know, and then it just spreads like a cancer. And pretty soon the entire, almost entire congregation is just up in a in an uproar. And they're ready to take Moses and Aaron and kill them, accusing them of murder. And it starts with that little seed of complaint. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, Paul says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased," and he's referring back to that incident, "for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play.' Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, that are, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So Paul, in recounting these incidents in the wilderness with the children of Israel, he puts it squarely on the murmuring and the complaining. He says they were destroyed of serpents, and he says, he's admonishing those that he's writing to in Corinth. He says, don't murmur as they did, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So he's warning them. You know, we should, that's why we have these things. That's why we have these accounts that we have in the Old Testament. And the journey of the children of Israel is very fascinating to me, and there's so many parallels there between the things that they did, the things that they went through, and what we have today. Again, it's a different time and a different place, but, you know, human nature has not changed. We still complain, don't we? We still like to look around at what maybe other people have, and we maybe mumble under our breath, "Well, I wish, you know, I wish I had that," or whatever it may be. But we have a warning here from Paul not to fall into that trap. God takes very seriously and is very offended by our complaining. And we shouldn't murmur against the leadership, whether it's the leadership of our country or the leadership of our congregations. We shouldn't murmur and complain against them. That's a direct comparison to what the children of Israel did against their leaders, against their shepherds. They murmured and complained. And God had finally had enough. And we see what happened. David recounts it here in Psalm 106, verse 24. He says, Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. And I get a picture here when David says this of the children of Israel camped. You know, maybe some were not as vocal about their complaining. Maybe they weren't in the crowds that were trying to rush Moses and Aaron and just yelling their complaints. Maybe there were some that were just in their tents at night, whether husband and wife or whatever, and they were just mumbling and complaining in their tent. Thinking, of course, that nobody's hearing them. Well, God heard them. He records it right here. He knew what they were doing. And so maybe that's you and I. You know, maybe we don't go out into the world and complain and voice our complaints like we hear others do. Maybe we do it at home. Maybe we're behind closed doors, so to speak, with our spouse, and we're just griping and complaining about this or that. Does God hear it? I think so. There are many today that worry to a great extent about what others may think about them. And we should be concerned about what people think about us. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But not to the point where it becomes a total distraction in our life and we can't get, you know, we can't move forward. And there are those that are like that. They are obsessed with what other people think about them. And yet they may be totally indifferent to what God thinks about them or whatever. And he's the one that sees everything they do. He sees everything, hears everything we say, and he knows everything we think. So those that were, as David says here, murmuring in their tents, they were not unheard by God. God heard them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We're not hiding anything from God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So not only does God know, see, and hear everything we do, say, and think, but he records it. He writes it down. We're not getting away with anything in this life. We're not keeping anything from God. Reminded of Jonah as the command he's given to go teach to Nineveh, and he runs away. And he thinks he's running away, and he runs to Joppa, and he gets on a boat, and he sails across the Mediterranean. Well, he didn't, you know, we can try to run from God, but we're not going to be successful in that. You know, in the medical sense, a heart murmur is something that, in listening to the heart, it's unusual. It's something that's an unexpected sound that's heard when listening to a heartbeat. It's out of place. It does not belong in the normal rhythm of the heart. It's usually harmless in a younger person, but as we age, it becomes potentially more serious. The heart murmur. Do we have heart murmurs spiritually? Are we complaining? Are we discontent? You know, these things should be, though they do happen from time to time, they should be rare. They should be out of place. They should be not part of the normal rhythm of how we are, how we behave, how we are spiritually. These things should be out of place to the extent that we recognize them when we do them and we correct them. And I think about those that were 20 years, those that were young in Israel, the 20 years and younger generation that survived the wilderness and were able to see the promised land. Did they never murmur and complain in their 20s? Well, no, I don't think that's the case. I think they did, but God did not hold them accountable as he did those that were older, that were supposed to be more mature, that were supposed to know better. Those are the ones that God held more accountable. And just as that old sinful man that we were before we became a member of the body of Christ, that man of sin, just as that old sinful man that was above that age of accountability in the wilderness died, God said, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. and the younger generation inherited the promised land. We as new creatures in Christ should be such that we leave behind the grumblings and complainings of that old man of sin. We should leave that behind. We should become a new creature. We should stop murmuring and be about the Lord's business. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I hope something was said tonight that was of some benefit, and it certainly benefited me. And looking at it, studying it, and again, recognizing things in my life that I need to correct. I complain. I'm guilty of it, and have done it a lot in my life. And you look at these examples of what happened in the Old Testament, and it's pretty sobering. If there's anybody here that has a desire to become a member of the body of Christ, to put that old man of sin to death in the waters of baptism and rise to walk a new life, become a new creature, we invite you to do that. There's no better time than the present. If there's anybody here that has any other matter to bring before this assembly that you feel you're struggling with and would like the prayers of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as well as we stand and sing.